This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College, who has agreed to travel in a time machine with me. It is 1968, Mexico City, the Olympics during the Cold War. There is much upset because at the time, civil rights was a major story in the United States, parallel with the Vietnam War. I knew there was trouble. There were trouble with mobs, with crowds, with police. There was violence. I didn't understand it. Here we are all these decades later. The death of a man introduces this topic. At 100 years old, Luis Echeverria Alvarez, former president, is gone. And AMLO, the current president, López Obrador, is acknowledging and praising and paying tribute to the passing of a man who other headlines calls a demagogue, a genocidal demagogue, a dictator, or a visionary. A mixed picture. The reason Professor knows that I'm keen on this is that there's a proverb somewhere that your politics are burned into your brain like the, the North Pole when you're 21 years old. And AMLO was 21 years old during the presidency of Echeverria. What is it that we need to remember about the President Echeverria's time in office following the creation of Pemex in the 60s by a predecessor and leading to this violence in the street of Mexico City that continued not just in 68, I believe it was again in 71, and as recently as 2005, President Echeverria, a senior citizen, was on trial or accused of genocide. That went away in 2005, but I'd have to say that his detractors outnumber his celebrators. Who was he that we need to think about him now, Professor?
Well, John, first of all, it's very important to understand how very different the Mexico that we analyze today is from the Mexico of the era of Echeverria. So in 1994, something fundamentally important happened with Mexico. Mexico chose to join with the United States and Canada under the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA. That set into motion a process of Mexican supply chains, et cetera, really being linked to the United States, being linked to the U.S. economy. There were always the migrant flows and other types of linkages, but that really in many ways cemented Mexico to the United States and Canada at a time in which also Mexico's traditional party, the PRI, was giving rise to a more plural system. So the other two major parties, the PAN and the PRD, came to have opportunities to exercise congressional presidential power. Of course, a devolution to what is today the Morena Party. But when we look at today's Mexico and AMLO, we forget that pre-1994, Mexico was very much saw itself as a leader of leftist third worldism. From the Mexican Revolution, which we often forget, was a relatively radical, bloody, pretty left-oriented revolution, which put into power a party, which at the time, many people used to make comparisons to the Communist Party in the Soviet Union. I mean, at the time, the PRA was a very dominant party. It was a one-party state. And so the era of Echeverria, again, this is the late 1960s. And so, for example, in the early 1970s, remember the radicalism in Latin America and elsewhere in the world of that era. And so Echeverria, certainly in domestic policy, he was criticized for his role. First, before he became president, as interior ministry, he had a role, it was believed, when he was the interior secretary under President Gustavo Díaz Ordaz, in the repression of students in 1968 in a place called Tlatelolco. So the Tlatelolco massacre, where 44 students were killed, and there were a number of other things. But in foreign policy, it was interesting because Echeverria really tried to position Mexico as a leader of the third world movement. He put something forward called the Charter of Economic Rights and Duties of States before the UN. He gave asylum to people like a Chilean leftist, Salvador Allende. He helped to facilitate Mexico's role in the negotiation of different agreements, working with Cuba, with the FMLN in El Salvador and in other groups. So it was an era in which, Mexico was seen in many ways as a item of concern for the United States as much as the ally that we see today. Now, why is this important? In many ways, what AMLO is doing is going back to that era. Both him and his foreign minister, Miguel Ebrard, who very well could become the next president of Mexico after AMLO. And so when you look at what AMLO is doing, talking about, positioning Mexico to be more friendly towards Cuba, bringing Venezuela back into the fold, criticizing, the United States and NATO for its policies on the Ukraine, despite Russia's human rights violations, trying to reach out and build new relationships with Central American countries and in development, all of those things smack of what Echeverria has done. When you look at AMLO's desire to use the Mexican National Oil Company Pemex, despite its corruption and just bleeding capital and inefficiency, as the vehicle for oil development, that was exactly what Echeverria did. Pemex really came into age during that period of time. And so again, in many ways, that era of Echeverria is that era that probably shapes the foreign policy posture that AMLO is trying to take us back to, even while he continues to wrestle with the reality of Mexico's economic integration with the United States in the modern era, as we saw with AMLO's conversations this week at the White House with President Biden.
And therefore, Echeverria is a figure who is much debated in Mexico, is what I'm learning from you, Professor, and reading about his passing. He was a conversation piece for several generations now of Mexican intellectuals because of the visionary part of his. Mario Vargas Llosa called him the perfect dictatorship, making it a literary construction. He gave refuge to some people fleeing persecution, but this was the Cold War. And the Cold War changed conditions everywhere. You were with us or against us, that sort of thinking. That is no longer welcome. The world is mixed. Latin America is not against Russia. It's not for Russia. It's separate from it. So AMLO's reference is for the visionary part, I take it, not for the authoritarian part. Is that correct?
In a sense, yes. The Echeverria era was an era in which Mexico was a one-party state. And so the PRI, not unlike the Communist Party in the Soviet Union, was officially leftist, but in some ways was also highly corrupt and repressive. And so there were a number of different things that were associated with that. Again, the role of the Mexican government in repressing those leftist right. student protesters in Tlatelolco, but also in spying on opponents. So there are some uncomfortable parallels. So, for example, Echeverria helped to basically secure the removal of an editor of a conservative Mexican paper, Excelsior, which had been very critical of
him. We have 30 seconds, Professor. Go ahead.
Which is very much like AMLO's repression of the press. We also can remember that Echeverria was famous for his workaholism and personal style and long emotional speeches connecting with the Mexican people, which, again, was not unlike what we see with AMLO today. But you're right. It's a legacy which is, the era in which AMLO lives in is not the era of Echeverria and not the era of the Cold War. And so where AMLO may be taking Mexico right now is worrisome for those differences.
Professor Evan Ellis, U.S. Army War College, New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.